Hello, everybody. Mariner here. How are you doing? We've just had a little bit of drama in Phoenix where Gabe couldn't hear anybody, then disappeared. No such problems in Malaysia with Joe. How are you doing, my friend? It's a long time.
Doing great. You know, just really glad that the international break is almost over. But yeah, always a pleasure to be with my friends, you guys here. So great, good to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. Gabe, how are you doing, mate?
Yeah, good. I don't know. For some reason, I got up to get something. I left you guys with, you know, looking after my stuff. I come back and I have no sound. I can't hear you. I don't know what you guys did while I was gone. But that's why we're late, everybody. So apologies for that.
Don't worry about it. I was all set to just say you've just stitched me up and left me with your slides like I did with you last week.
Someone has to play the Nemo role and keep getting here late, right?
Anyway, let's crack on then. Let's just go through the usual bits and bobs. So, yeah, this is the matchup show for game week 4. And we're going to do the usual bits and bobs. We've got Gabe's philosophy bit. We've got his matchups. We've got the fixture difficulties. We've got some predictions. We've got the algo and we've got the captaincy metric. And we've got the cat right at the end. And I've got my green screen up because somebody took the piss out of my curtains last week. So that's it. No more curtains. I've got the green screen. Right? So
the fashionable brown curtains. We're gonna miss those.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much. So yes, we are Net That Hall. Please hit the like. Please hit the subscribe button. Please hit the bell for notifications. We're doing really well with respect to subscriptions. Thank you very much. We're just around 1,250. So we're 250 away from Nima dressing up as Ali G. And another 750 away from another donation to the Heart Fund. So thanks very much. And we've just passed 5,500 downloads as well as a pod. So, yeah, amazing stuff. Very, very quickly, Mini League, still open for entries. We're going to keep it open for a while. FG1XNB is the code. Prizes, we've got a first prize is a box from at Shirt Loop Box. We've got Matt Whelan's book. It's FPL Obsessed, either in Kindle or if you prefer a signed copy, you can have it in hard copy as well. And we've got a subscription for Fantasy Football Fix for 1 year as well. So you can take on people like Big Man, Bakar, Tom, Stevenson, and the rest of us. I'm not going to play Tom's clip. We've seen it thousands of times, Nima. I'm bored of it. But so, but in any case, we've got to try and beat Tom. So who's going to beat Tom? Right, that's the question. I tell you who might beat Tom, actually, the way he started. That's Mohammed Sadiq with Evil SWAT FFC in Singapore. 276 points so far, 1.6K, 22nd in Singapore. That is a good start, my friend. Well done. You have netted that haul so far. So, right, that's the introduction in double quick time. I think that's the fastest I've ever done it, Gabe. I'm gonna set you off, and then when you've come back, when you've done this philosophy, I'm just gonna say hello to a few people before we get going with the matchups.
Okay. So this is the FPL philosophy of the week, and this week's quote comes from the illustrious Nelson Mandela, idol, legend, and Nelson Mandela says, "May your choices reflect your hopes, not your fears." And this quote kind of spoke to me this week because of a conversation we had Mariner, regarding choices and how this week, this game week seems like a differentiating week in terms of, do we reinvest money in our forward line? Do we making decisions of which premium to go with? Hitting the whether to hit the wild card, which players to get when we do hit that wild card. So I wanted to bring this quote kind of to people's attention so they kind of make their decisions with their aspirations in mind. The thing about fear is that it actually inhibits our decision-making, our capacity for decision-making, and it also inhibits our capacity to learn. It's a learning barrier because it creates stress. Fear creates stress, and stress inhibits learning and inhibits clear decision-making. So if you can live in your hopes, then you can make decisions that will help you realize those hopes. So May your choices reflect your hopes this week, not your fears.
Well, that's fabulous. Well, my fear at the moment is the cat is just about to climb up the green screen.
See, the cat wants the brown curtains back too.
It's actually moving. Right? I don't know if you can see you. It's trying to climb up it. So, oh, no, it's fine. I mean, look, I agree with you with respect to fear. I think there's a lot of FOMO at the moment, isn't there, with regard players like Ronaldo and, you know, Lukaku. And I mean, we don't even know whether they're going to play yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big thing. In fact, that I think we know less than we don't know much at all, do we? I posted on Twitter the other day that the more I think about it, the least I know. Maybe time to just sit on your hands, Joe. Mm-hmm. What do you reckon about that? Have you done that this week?
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree with. I think firstly, I would like to say something about the philosophy. This quote, I think it's really apt, because firstly, like what Mariner or Chris said before game week, you know, after game week three, before the international break, you know, we were sort of like pretty set, you know, on. Or we sort of like had an expectation of what's going to happen in game week, or towards game week four, and then you know Ronaldo came in, and then there's this Brazilian squad, you know, causing havoc, and also now news of other countries following suit, you know, especially I think in regards with Jimenez, it seems Mexico might want to. You know, try to punish him as well, which actually I have no idea why they want to do that. So yeah, I mean, may our choices reflect our hopes and not our fears. I think right now we have a lot of fear. FOMO is one thing. Fear of missing out on Ronaldo is definitely one of them. Fear of players not playing, or players are not fit to start, or too tired and things like that. So, what are we going to do? I think that's the question we need to ask ourselves.
I think wait. It's the old Braveheart gif comes out, doesn't it?
I have to agree with that, to be honest, because after game week three, we thought we had a pool of certain information, but now it seems we don't anymore. You know, that so-called pool seems to dry up in the air, you know.
Well,
so
there is another fear in the chat group. Mike Halpin, his fear is Mariner doing an evil laugh after mentioning Arsenal again. I can promise you it's coming.
Mariner, we could use you actually said a quote that could be used in the philosophy of the week, and I know you say that you're not. You and philosophy don't mix very well, but you just said, the more I think, the less I know.
Mm. Yeah.
I might have to repurpose that another time.
I've got to be honest with you. If that is absolutely, there is no plan in saying that. That was straight off the cuff.
The best wisdom is off the cuff.
Let me quickly say hello to a few people. So we've got number one in tonight was Blue Danube guy, as usual. We've got Davinder Raj in, we've got Mike, I've already said, Pavan's in, Jaleen's in. Hello, Jaleen. She's in bed now. I think you've gone to bed. Rob's here. We've got FPL Sav, we've got FPL Hafiz, we've got Ignatius, we've got FPL Penguin, Sushet, Kumar, FPL Dallas, FPL Masha, Jared, we've got Lindsay, hello Lindsay, and we've got Dread, among others, and FPL Bang, we've got Sifra as well. So, hello, guys. So, right, Gabe, matchups. So, what's the plan?
Well, Sifra's just in time for matchups because he spoke about Damari Gray at length on the FPL Banger podcast. So, this week, you know, matchups, I was all over the place. You know this, Mariner. I don't even remember what I was talking about for matchups last week. And then a couple of days ago was something else. It was captaincy or something. And it ended up with a little Damari Gray scouting report.
Well, I have to say, that really surprised me because I was all set for you to do it about captaincy. We only spoke yesterday at lunch and you changed your mind.
I did. I mean, there's a lot's been going on, I guess. I mean, so here's like for Damari Gray, I figured I'd go with Amari Gray because there's a lot of money being reinvested in FPL, being reinvested to the forward line. Amari Gray is somebody that we had spoken about in preseason as somebody who's been kind of lauded for his versatility. He played on the left wing. He played at the 10. He's been moved around quite a lot. So even though Everton only paid £1.5 million for him, he seems to be like a Swiss Army knife of sorts. And if we're looking for, like, there are people looking, you know, for several premiums, and in order to do that, you need a budget player you can kind of rely on. Now, I think if we're looking at just overall team structure in general, if you're on wild card, you know, investing 5.5 million is probably better invested in defense than in midfield. I think we would all agree on that. But if you know, for me, so this came from my specific situation where I need a player that I can rely on in the short term, a budget player that will start for me. So I was wondering, is Damari Gray a player that can start in the short term? And I you know, just going into it, I'm not assuming that he's a long term reliable asset. So yeah, let's jump into it. We're gonna start with the heat maps. Just take a little bit of a tactical overview first before diving into, just kind of look at his role before diving in into like how he executes that role. So I took a look at the kind of the Everton front line, and for the podcast listeners, I'll kind of describe the images on the screen. The first image it's a touch heat map of Andros Townsend, just showing that he plays just outside the box on the right hand side of the field. The next image is one of Doucouré, touch heat map of Doucouré. Doucouré plays just behind Andros Townsend and a little bit inside, if you can imagine, kind of the area to the right side between the center circle and the edge of the box. Then I move to Calvert-Lewin. Calvert-Lewin operates, he does shift around the lineup quite a bit. He shifts from side to side. But his main area of threat, at least, I would say, is right around the top of the box and right inside the box on the penalty spot and on the six, where you'd expect. And then moving on to the left side, you have Richarlison, who's actually plays mostly on the outside of the box. So he penetrates the box from the a wide angle, not from the top of the box. So I put these together to kind of show where does Damari Gray fit into this picture? If we could get to the next slide. So I've highlighted where all the areas of the field and then in Damari Gray's heat map here. So I have Townsend and Iwobi in blue on the right side. I have Doucouré tucked inside and deep in yellow. I have Calvert-Lewin in the pinkish purple there in the center, and Richarlison in the green on the left. And you'll notice especially for those that are watching the stream here, there is a gap. There's like a prefabricated gap for Damari Gray to penetrate. And I found this really encouraging because it tells me that his attack, his role in the attack of the team is actually by design, and it's not by some kind of play breakdown or some kind of something else that's random and not maybe not something that we can count on. So this was an encouraging sign for me. And so I paired that with his shots heat map, and he hasn't taken many shots. He's only taken 4 shots, but all those shots have been kind of roughly in that area where there's a gap between Dominic Calvert-Lewin in the center and Richarlison on the left. There's like a prefabricated space for Damari Gray to operate. So I found this really encouraging. Now, that's the kind of tactical overview. Now, let's dig down and let's look at how he does this. First two images here, I have, my bad. So take a look at the image on the right. That's the first image, and the image on the left is the second image.
Don't blame me. These are your slides.
These are my slides. I blame PowerPoint because I was like, you know, it suggests the layout, and I was like, oh, that looks nice, and I clicked on it, and I didn't look. But anyway, going to the image on the right, Damari Gray is inside the center circle, kind of to the right side of the field, as Alex Iwobi has checked to receive the ball way out on the sideline there. But the Murray Gray, what I like here is that he's showing maturity in recognizing his responsibility as a central midfielder to link play from the wing backs to the forward line. So he checks to the space between Iwobi and himself to receive the ball. Now, what I like about the way he receives this ball is he receives it with his back foot, which is his right foot. And that causes Luke Ayling to step kind of inside, which opens the space on the outside for Demarai Gray. So if you think of somebody checking to the ball on the right side of the field and they receive it with their right foot, the defender may think that they're going to turn inside. So they'll step there, and then the right flank will open up. And Demarai Gray does that really nicely here. In the next slide, I'm going to show you kind of the trajectory of his run. And this is actually a really important key to Demarai Gray's game. So Demarai Gray, actually, he takes that run up the flank. And right in the screenshot before this, it was late last night, and I was too tired to cut that one. But I'll explain it. You can tell in Cooper's hips are completely turned at this point. Right now, so Demarai Gray cuts inside. So Cooper's hips kind of open up, and then Demarai Gray cuts up the line again. So Cooper has to turn his hips back forward to follow Demarai Gray's run. That little hip movement that Demarai Gray forces Cooper to take is what affords him the kind of the time to use his pace. Demarai Gray is quite, we know he's fast, but he's actually quite pacey with the ball, which is a really nice benefit here. Once you turn the defender's hips like that, even if it's just for a moment, that flank's going to open up for him. As we get to the next slide here, he'll breeze past Cooper. And then here he has, this is where Demarai Gray, I think, where he deserves, where we can throw some criticism at him, is in that final product. I find that both his shots and his crosses could use some work. So in this case, just this you see often in like lower league football, where a player, if they have the cross, they just take it because it's there. Mara is pointing to the Grimsby Town Stadium behind him, indicating lower league football there.
But it would be going out by the corner flag.
That's right. Well, that's exactly what Demarai Gray does, right? He puts the ball in the space between Melier and Strauch, with thinking that that Calvert-Lewin could run into that space, but he can't make it into that space so far ahead of Calvert-Lewin inside the six. So Demarai Gray needs to either put more bend on this ball so it wraps around Strauch and gets to Calvert-Lewin, or if he could just chip, like Calvert-Lewin is dragging Strauch out of the play, if he just gives this ball a little dink and chips it over the top of Calvert-Lewin here. Sorry about that, guys. Yo, Cashew, chill. All right. Then he can get Alex Iwobi here in stride. So there are two passes he can make that I think would work out for him, but he makes the one that doesn't work out. Mm-hmm. You got dogs, we got cats, we got a regular zoo here. this one's interesting. This play's interesting. This is Everton against Brighton. This shows kind of what they do in transition. Alan gets the ball, he splits how many? Three Brighton players, three Brighton midfielders with one pass. And this is like, you see Richarlison in this screen, that the ball is around the middle of the field for those listening on the podcast. Demarai Gray is on the left side of the circle, just passing midfield, and Alan has played a ball through to him. Demarai Gray has tons of space in front of him. The reason he has tons of space in front of him is because if we look just above the yellow triangle there, it's we can see Richarlison's dyed hair. Look how far to the right Richarlison is pulled over. When Richarlison pulls right like that, he opens up acres of space for Demarai Gray. This is how they scored the goal against Leeds as well. I didn't play that goal because Demarai Gray didn't really take that ball well, and he was a little bit lucky to score in the end. We'll see. Yep. The finish here isn't the greatest either. I think he was also a little bit lucky. But this play for Demarai Gray has opened up several Demarai Gray on this one. Really good. This play of shifting from the right as using the right as a decoy to open up space for Damari Gray on the left is a play that Damari Gray has scored from twice. Both his goals have come from this situation. So I see this. I see this repeating itself. If we can move on to the next slide, and we'll see how this plays out.
Next one.
Yes, please.
Sorry, I'm getting attacked by the cat now. It's an animal. It's an animal.
it's an animal episode of Met That Hall. And here again, we see, look at the angle. I don't know, who is that, Veltman? I think that's Veltman that's covering him. I don't remember the Brighton defender that's covering him, but we see how the Brighton defender is actually taking a step inside, right? He like away from Damari Gray. And you think, why is he taking a step away from Damari Gray when the Damari Gray is attacking the goal? He's doing that because Gray had actually angled his run that way. Just like he did in the previous slide, he angles his run one way, and then he cuts down the line, and then he goes like parallel to the sideline, and that creates a space right in there, right in this area. If we can get to the next slide, and that's where he takes the shot, and the shot isn't a great shot. He's kind of lucky to squeeze it by Sanchez there. Sanchez should really do better, but it does go in the far post. But that one touch inside that Damari Gray takes when he's dribbling the ball and then back outside, he's beating defenders like that day in, day out. So I do like him in the short term. I think he will be found out. And I think his finishing has been a little bit lucky, so I don't envision the goals. But in the short term, while he has some form, I think he could be an option.
You see, look, the first thing I'm going to say is about Sanchez. You know what I say about Sanchez? He doesn't have much to save, and he doesn't save much of them.
Yep.
So, yeah. And I own him. What a disaster.
that was Webster, the right centre-back Webster. Thanks, Ilo.
Oh, I'm surprised you didn't shout stop ball watching. You did last year with Holden. We'll come on to Arsenal in a minute. Joe, what's your perspective on Gray? And would you bust your template apart to get a player like Ronaldo in? Because that's what basically people are doing here with these wild cards, aren't they? And with I think Gabe set it up nicely with the the 5.5 defense slot for me is far more interesting with players like James and people like that coming in the next week or two. So what's your view?
Yeah, I mean, I've recently started doing some eye test reports as well, and when I look at Gray, I see the way he operates. If you look at his average position, is pretty high, probably just behind DCL and Richarlison, and he has that. I don't know. I think Benitez somehow gave him that free role to operate whenever he sees space. And both goals that he scored are similar. You know, in the way it was built up is pretty similar. But yes, finishing could be better. Keeper could have gotten saves. I think the XG was pretty low as well, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, if you look at the short term, I think why we are starting to look at 5.5s, I think previously we looked at, I think the first 2 weeks or 3 weeks at least, we were looking at 6 or 6.5s. You know, now we are going down 5.5. I don't think there's any 5 midfielders worth looking at.
Not really.
So I would say 5.5 is probably the lowest that is worth looking.
I term it a bit of a dead zone, to be honest. I've just looked at Gray's number. He's got an XG of 0.39 and 2 goals.
Yeah.
Now, if that isn't overperforming, I don't know what is. Look at that, and especially when you've got we've got our friend Sanchez here.
which is why I think why Gabe says that it's a short term, because I think he is high in confidence, and somehow Benitez is putting praises on him, and I think Everton's fixtures are good as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a few. There's some nice comments. As people said, rather try for Dean rather than Gray. Grady likes Gray to free up funds. I mean, of course, that's exactly what he does do. But to me, and I've also seen a comment somewhere further. I saw it pass by on the comments. Comments are going quite quick tonight. Someone else mentioned, and I can't remember who it was, they said Sarr, $500,000 more. Mm-hmm. Watford have got some very good fixtures, and he's more of a, to me, is a more of a talisman there. So for me, if I was trying to do that, I would probably try and work Sarr in rather than Gray. That would be my perspective.
So there are several comments, you know, saying that, and that's why I prefaced it with the caveat at the beginning that that money is definitely better spent in defense. But there's no, you can't go from, you know, you can't do like a, for example, in my case, I can't go Son to a defender. So we're looking for budget options in midfield, right? To shift the money forward, because it's hard to find budget. It's hard to find that money in defense, enough money in defense to shift forward. Yeah. And then the other thing I'll say is that, Sarr for $500,000 more is better than Gray. And then I would add that Rafinha for $500,000 more is better than Sarr. And I would add that Torres for $500,000. I mean, you could keep going, $500,000 more, you're going to get better players when you spend more money. But the question is, if you need that money to reinvest elsewhere, is Gray an option? And I think he is. And the caveat in the short term is very key, because you can't rely on a 5-5 for the rest of the season.
No, definitely not. I mean, okay, there's another strategy to this. You know, some people might consider 5.5 as a fifth midfielder instead of being a fourth. Because usually if you look at a fourth midfielder, it would be someone that you would want to play week in, week out. So, you know, at a 5.5 as a fourth midfield, to be honest, it's not exciting long-term, especially when players, you know, going off form or they're playing tougher opponents, or, you know, somehow they got dropped by their managers and, you know, you'd be in trouble. So some might consider 5.5 midfielders as a fifth midfielder. So you can shift basically from a 3-5-2 or a 3 to a 3-4-3. So it really depends on the team.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, when you're changing your structure, if you're wildcard and you've got the opportunity to look at these things, I'm stuck with Mr. 2-point Brownhill. He's just...
There's something to be said. 4.5 for 2 points every week versus 5.5 for something that you can't count on. Like in the long term, maybe that's money belt better.
Yeah, but of course there is another 5.5 option, Gabe, and that's Conor Gallagher. And you know, his numbers: 1.39 xG, 2 goals, 0.62 xA, no assists yet. You know, those numbers look a bit more sustainable to me.
Conor Gallagher is this week's alchemist. Now, if there may be two alchemists this week, if DCL is truly ruled out, I'd have to go with my countryman, my Venezuelan brother, Rondonaldo Salomon. But Conor Gallagher, what I like about Gallagher is he has a seemingly difficult matchup. But it's not that bad if you look at certain metrics. First of all, chances conceded from the left. Well, let me read the quote here from so every week I'll pick there'll be an alchemist pick of the week, and then I it's one of my favorite books in the world. So here's the quote from it. It says, "When we strive to become better than we are, everything around us becomes better too." And the alchemist pick of the week is
that's quite appropriate for Crystal Palace.
I mean, I actually think it is, like, on a deep level, because of all the signings they've made, right? It seems like there's like a theme of aspiration in the alchemist and the philosophy of the week.
Well, it's a fact they had to do something.
What's that?
It's a fact they had to do something.
Yeah.
I like him, I have to say. He's, you know, but again, fixtures are, I'll have to look at. I mean, most of us did say we would never own a Crystal Palace player all season, didn't we?
Sure. And this is, you know, this is the, my, you know, like a 1 week, you know, off the radar pick. Well, Spurs concede, I don't have the numbers in front of me anymore because I have to restart my computer, but Spurs concede a ton of chances from the left. Connor Gallagher operates on that right side of midfield. And then there's another chart if we go to the next slide. And this comes to us courtesy of at Nick Triggerlips. So he's been doing this study where he's been looking at the ICT, which is a metric I haven't looked at very, very much, the ICT index here. And what he does is he looks at the ICT for each team and then calculates the ICT points conceded by teams, and he's tracking that. Meredith, can you tell us who's conceded the most ICT points?
Oh, look. It's Arsenal. Oh, fancy that.
I mean, first things first, Gabe, I didn't even know what ICT was. I've just commented in the chat I actually did an O-level in ICT.
It's...
Please explain.
So it's basically how the role... the attacking threat that a player has, right? So I'm bringing it up here, if you bear with me for just 1 second. So we have creativity, influence, creativity, and threat. It's what ICT stands for. And if you notice here how Spurs are quite low, so they've conceded 88 ICT points to the opposition this season, and they're coming up against Palace. They concede a lot of chances from their left side. Connor Gallagher will be operating there. Connor Gallagher is finding some form after a brace a couple weeks ago. So I just like him as an outside shot to get a little return this week. The Alchemist pick this season is 3-for-3, by the way. So we started with Socek, got a goal for game week one. Then we had Adam Armstrong got an assist game week two, and then game week three, I don't remember who I picked, but they did.
Didn't you pick Van Dijk?
Oh, yeah, Van Dijk, he got a clean sheet.
Yeah, you can't claim that.
I'm claiming a clean sheet. It's an Alchemist pick. I'm taking the Alchemist takes what he wants.
Very true. Brilliant. No, I'll tell you what, we're going to have to start looking at this ICT. It's something I know you mentioned to me, what did I think about it? And I can see a metric appearing from this or some form of metric, I think, because if it takes into account that, like you say, the creativity and things like that, then you can see how you could work that into something.
If you want to learn more about it, Nick Triggerlips just put out a video on YouTube. So check his YouTube channel. He put one out yesterday, but I had to take it down for copyright infringement. but he just put a new one up today. So do check that out. He goes into it. He's been doing this for several years now. So and this is brand new to me. So, thanks to him for creating this.
I don't think I'm speaking out of turn, but Nick's on the show on Monday, isn't he?
He is. Yeah, he is. So speak to him then. Come back on Monday.
Yes, come back up Monday, you'll hear all about it. Okay, great, Gabe, that's really good. So let's now move on. But what I'm going to do first of all, guys, it's the last chance. We have to try and get as many votes as we can. So just whilst we are exercising our vocal cords with a glass of water, please just have a quick watch or listen to this. And please, if you haven't voted for Net the Hall in the Football Content Awards for Best Video, please do so.
Hey, everybody. Mariner here. Just to let you know that Net that Hall have been nominated in the Football Content Awards 2021 for Best in Fantasy Football /Video. It's quite an amazing feat for us because we've only been going since game week 20 of last season. And I think it's fair to describe our competition as pretty big. And us as minnows, if you were thinking about this as an FA Cup match. But, you know, there are giant killing acts and little old Net that Hall and our amazing haulers punch massively above our weight, don't we? So with a bit of help from you, who knows what we might achieve. So let's quickly walk through what and how to vote. Okay, so first of all, head across to the footballcontentawards.com/voting. And what you'll see within that page is if you head down, you'll see the fantasy football section, which is about halfway down. You see the podcasts, you see the videos, you hit net that hole. And with respect to editorials, let's not forget our All About FPL friends who were also nominated as well. So what are you waiting for? Give us a vote, and thank you very much indeed.
Yeah, well, there we go. That's the last time you'll hear that one for another year, hopefully. But at the same time, I think from my perspective, we've only been going since game week 20, so even just to achieve that is fantastic. And Nima's going to have a good yep. night out, I think. So lucky devil. But no, so if you haven't voted, guys, please do. And then get your cat to vote, your dog to vote, and anybody else to vote as well. All right, anyone. I've been spamming people like mad all week. So, right, okay, let's crack on. We're going to do the engine room now. So what we're going to do, as always, this is my bit, where we're going to talk about how we did last week with our predictions, and then we're going to look at where we are with things like fixture difficulty. So bear with me, but we'll rattle through this first bit. So first of all, we had Manchester City and Arsenal. We predicted 2.5 goals. We were right. Bit of a no-brainer, really, wasn't it? Okay. Next, Liverpool against Chelsea. Now, I thought there would be goals for Chelsea. There weren't, but neither side kept a clean sheet, which is what I did say, so I'm going to claim that. The trap of the week was Brighton.
You just told me I couldn't claim a clean sheet, and you're claiming just clean sheets?
I did claim a sheet. I did say it would be a clean... I did say there wouldn't be a clean sheet, actually. Don't you start. So anyway, we've got Potter World there, you know, back against Calvert-Lewin at your peril, like I did the week before. So this time I went with Calvert-Lewin, and Potter looks a bit fed up there. Bloody coup foul did me again. I mean, how many more times? If he doesn't return this week, I don't think I'll know what I'm going to do. I've made one transfer and it's been absolute pants so far. Although saying that, I did take Ben White out, so there is a bit of... Perhaps I am quite happy with that. But no, I mean, everything stacked up for him. It didn't happen. Cresswell got the return instead. Typical, the opposite side. So, yeah, so we did all right. And I think prediction-wise, we showed it on the round table last week. We're doing pretty well with these. So I think let's see how we carry on. We'll dive into this week. So what we're going to do now then is we're going to look at the fixture difficulty. For the podcasters, again, I'm going to read these out. For the people who are watching it, of course, green's good, red's bad, naught's good, seven's bad for both attack and defence. And what you'll also see is there's a new column, which is VAR. It's not video replay. It's actually the variance between how the teams are performing now, this season, home or away, and there's not much data, so before you kill me, against the previous sections. So the previous sets of data, which was 2019-20 with fans, all of 2021, and then the last few games, which incorporated some fans and obviously a little bit of more, should we say, recent performance. So, okay, so starting with home and attack, City are top, 0.7, Liverpool 1.1, Manchester United 2.2, then Chelsea and Everton. And at the bottom, Palace 4.8, Brentford 4.3, Arsenal 4.2, Norwich and Villa. With respect to the VAR, we'll call it VAR, just for shits and giggles, better. Who's improved? Well, it's hard to say. I have to see how, but City have. Well, maybe we can see how because they played Arsenal. But anyway, in two games, they've averaged 4.5 big chances and 2.9 XG, and they've scored 10 goals. I think that probably explains why they're top of the fixture difficulty. Everton have also improved, but that was probably down to the Southampton game. Three big chances, to XG of 2.1, three goals. And West Ham have obviously improved as well. There's two games there, Leicester and Palace, 2.5 big chances per 90, only 1.5 XG per 90, but six goals a game. So there are plenty of goals with respect to those three. At the other end of it, worse, Leicester, They didn't do very well at all against Wolves at home. They had an XG of 0.8. They didn't have a big chance at all, and they only scored one goal. And I recall it was an absolute screamer from Vardy. It was one of those ones, I think, where he probably shouldn't have got it. Chelsea, they're not too good, but it's very early, of course. Home against Palace, they had XG of 1.4 and only one big chance with three goals. And, of course, that's where my fixture difficulty works on a lot of to do with big chances. And Spurs as well, 2.4. So in two games, they've only had one big chance, an XG of 1.15 and two goals. Okay, so that's the first side. I'm just going to go through the others and I'll bring you guys in on the just a general sort of chat. For the away side, from a point of view of attack, we've got Liverpool at 1.2, West Ham 1.4, Chelsea 1.9. And then we've got City and United below those. And at the bottom, reading up, Watford 5, Norwich 4.8, Wolves 4.5, Palace 4.2, and Newcastle 4.2. I mean, look, there's one team smashes everything out the park at the moment. I think this is going to be a common statement we're going to say all night, West Ham. Against Newcastle, six big chances, 3.8 XG, scored four goals. You know, madness, right? And Brighton as well, one game against Burnley, three big chances, XG of 2.3, two goals. And on the other side of things, worse, poorest. This is really, I'm sorry, Sivert, this is not, I'm not just having to go at Arsenal, but they are pretty poor at the moment, 2.8. Down. So in two games, they haven't created a big chance. They've got an XG of 0.45. Norwich, they played City away. Enough said. Let's move on. And Leicester in two games, 1.5 big chances per 90.85 XG. So very early doors, but what do you guys see in these fixture difficulties? Gabe, can I come to you first?
I think the first thing that stands out to me is how the home attack, there's a lot of red in the variance. So the home attack seems to not be as good as what it used to be compared to the other data sets. I look at a team like West Ham, whose away attack is so much better than their home attack. And I think of style of play. You know, this happens to Southampton as well. They're also higher in away because when they go away, they play more of a counter-attacking style, whereas at home in front of fans, sometimes teams feel compelled to actually play and come out, so they're more vulnerable, they're less effective. So those are interesting to note. The ones where it's better for them, their attack is better away, it probably indicates a counter-attacking style.
Yeah, I mean, there's some early, I think when we come to defence, I think there's a little bit more, I think there might be a little bit more, shall we say, stuff which we might be able to nail and say that there really is something in one or two of these. I mean, it's very early doors, to be quite honest. So let's move on and I'll quick look at defence. And defensively wise, so again, from the top, at home, City 1.8, Chelsea 1.8, Brighton 2.4, Manchester United 2.6. Everton 3.1, and at the bottom, reading up, Newcastle at the bottom, then Norwich 4.9, 4.8, Southampton 4.7. This is Southampton at home, third worst, remember that. Brentford 4.2 and Arsenal 4.1. And the VAR or the VAR, the same caveats, of course, but better. Who has performed better than we expected? Brentford, one game against Arsenal, they didn't concede a big chance, but by hell, did they concede some shots and 22 shots and 13 in the box. So whether, let's see about that. Palace didn't concede a big chance against Brentford. Not one. XG of expected goals against of 0.7. And Liverpool in two games have only conceded half a big chance per 90 and an XG of 0.8 per 90. So there, I think, you know, we can safely say, I think maybe the Van Dijk factor is starting to kick in. And on the worst side of things, I'm sorry again, Arsenal conceded five big chances and an XG of expected goals against of 2.7 against Chelsea. Newcastle got hammered by West Ham, pardon the pun. But they've conceded 10 big chances in two games. Okay, and an expected goal against of 3.3. And away, the poorer numbers. So the home factor, I think, is now starting to kick in a bit. We're seeing City at 2.1, Chelsea at 2.8, Everton 3.1, Wolves 3.1, Spurs 3.3. At the bottom, Burnley 4.4, Palace 4.4, Leeds 4.3, Southampton 4.3, and then Norwich. So that's not quite so bad. So again, are they... our team's sitting back a little bit more. I'm not quite sure. I could bring you in a second, Joe. But look at this, and I think this is the key interest one. Brentford improved, 3.1 improvement. They've only conceded one big chance in two games. They've played Palace and Villa. I don't think either of those places are easy places to go. I've been to both grounds. And they've conceded expected goals against of 0.8. Okay, Wolves as well, -2.7. They've only played Leicester away. Of course, we've said about Leicester. And Newcastle have actually improved a little bit away from home. But that might be, again, because it's Villa. And there's a little bit of a factor there. But two teams have played Villa and two teams are improving. So whether that's the fact Villa aren't very good. Joe, Brentford, what's your view? They've got the same type of kit as Sheffield United, are they?
Yeah, exactly.
Are they the next Sheffield United in waiting?
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to say that, you know, Chris. I think the way they operate, I think they seem to have a system, you know, relatively, I mean, it really reminds us of Sheffield United, I think, two seasons ago. And then they have a great shot stopper in the form of Raya. So, yeah, they are looking pretty solid at the back at the moment. And I think we will probably, you know, if this carries on, definitely we will see some highly owned Brentford defenders. I think currently the most popular is Jensen, is it?
I'm not sure. I've not really looked at it. I'm just starting to look at the stats now. Three games in, I'm only just starting to look at the player stats. I posted some in the community earlier on. But I think the point I would make, and it's a bit of a tongue-in-cheek one about the kit, but I do get the whiff of a bit of a Sheffield United first season, very well organised.
Right.
You know, I just get that feeling. You know, they've got some really tough fixtures coming up. Brentford's fixtures turn horribly. So we'll see in a few weeks.
Yeah, but I mean,
you know, we might come back to eat our words, Joe. But
maybe, but I can see, you know, a lot of save points for Raya. He's currently the second highest scoring goalkeeper. But yeah, I mean, we definitely have to wait and see. But I got a feeling that you know, he is up to the task.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. What about Wolves? Big improvement as well.
I think Wolves, in terms of their improvement, you know, they don't concede that many big chances. Somehow, you know, they manage to not just, you know, being more solid defensively, but also really attacking as an attacking side, which is a bit surprising to see. You know, like usually it doesn't work both ways. Usually, if you attack a lot, you tend to concede more as well. But Wolves, you know, looks good at the moment, both defensively and attacking. Yes, I mean, attacking doesn't translate that much to points yet. But I think we will see them hauling soon with the fixtures turning.
I've got a funny feeling that they might just do that. I was looking into the numbers today. I posted them in the community channel. So if you guys come to the YouTube channel and have a look at some numbers in there, it might persuade you to have a quick look at some Wolves assets for your wildcards, if in fact you're looking at it. So that's the fixture difficulty as of now. That's the current fixture difficulty where we do all the matchups from. Okay, right. Now we go into the long range forecast. It's a bit like weather, this. So, you know, and what I'm doing, I'm not going to talk about the actual individuals. I'm going to talk about the actual blocks now. So I'm going to talk about game week 4 to 6, and I'm going to talk about game weeks 7 to 10. Okay. So if we talk about attack, Liverpool have the best set of fixtures, average plus three. That's very, very good indeed. West Ham, Liverpool play Leeds away, Palace home, Brentford away. West Ham plus two, Southampton away, Manchester United at home and Leeds away. And Manchester United third, Newcastle, West Ham, and then Villa. So I'm not going to go through too much detail because I want to concentrate on this week's matchups. But defensively, Everton have the best matchups, but nothing like as positive. 1.2, so nothing like as positive there. Home against Burnley, away against Villa, and then home against Norwich. But they've got a stack of injuries. So I'm not quite sure what's going to happen there. Manchester City, 1.1, even playing Leicester away, Southampton at home, and Chelsea away. Despite those fixtures, they still have positive matchups. Their numbers are insane at the moment, quite frankly. Home against Villa, away against Spurs, home against Man U, and also Brighton still there, Brentford, Leicester, and Palace. But when we go to game week 7 to 10, and this is the key thing for me, and this is why this FOMO and things about Ronaldo and players like that, this makes me stop and think a lot. Okay, in game week 7 to 10, Chelsea 2.2 average, 1.4 better. Okay, that's a big, big swing. Manchester City 2.1, better by 0.8. Liverpool 1.7, worse by 1.2, but still good.
Mm-hmm.
But they're coming down now. And West Ham 1.2, worse by 0.9. So are we going to be moving perhaps some of our West Ham assets out at that stage? It's entirely possible we may do that. And defensively, Chelsea 1.6, much better. Okay, Manchester City 1.4, better. Leicester 0.6, better. The players who we would normally rotate towards are all going to come into our thought process game week 7 onwards, in my opinion. Notice that I didn't mention Leeds till now. Leeds' defensive swing is 2.3. It's enormous. But it's only gone to neutral. And Southampton's defensive swing has also got is a 1.2, but it's still negative. So some interesting. I like these numbers, Gabe. What's your perspective on this?
Yeah, it's interesting because we don't have anything to. All we have is the we have the first chunk of the season, right? And the results in game weeks 4 to 6. Could change this a lot. So I think looking at the 7 to 10 is like I think that's probably where we should be looking right now in terms of planning and transfers and all of that. But in terms of matchups themselves, maybe I would focus more on the 4 to 6, on the more immediate.
I don't know that I'd agree with you, actually. I think these are pretty much set in stone because remember, these are long-term fixtures. These are pulling data for a long time. So even if things move, they're not going to move that far.
Right.
There's one or two. I mean, West Ham, for example, is one which has moved a long way. Why is that? Well, because they're going like a freight train, right?
Well, you know, I think...
Probably a sustainable freight train, but they're going like a freight train.
Well, when it comes to data, that's where we differ, I think, in our approach. I don't put that much value in historical data. Because teams change, managers change, situations change every single year. So that's just too much going on. So, but for statistical analyses, you have to include it. I think it makes it more robust for sure. So, yeah, that's an interesting difference between
this. No, I mean, that's fine. It's a debate. We don't always agree. It's good that we don't agree, actually. That's actually what... You know, if we just agreed it all the time, it would be blooming boring, wouldn't it?
It'd be like playing musical chairs with more chairs than people.
Exactly. But anyway, so there's a comment there, Benrahma to Mount in game week 7. That actually sounds quite tasty to me. We'll have to see how they do. I mean, at the moment, if Antonio carries on the way he's going, he's going to get 500 points.
Ben Rama will probably get about 400 points.
Well, so, I mean, I think it'll be an interesting conversation. It'll be an interesting conversation because you have the for that spot, you have Mount, right, from Chelsea. You have Torres from City with good matchups. You have and Jota from Liverpool also with good matchups. So it'll kind of be between them three again, choices and how we're differentiating.
It will. This is where it's getting interesting. And people are all thinking, "Oh, Rafinha." But they're not really standing out at all at the moment, Leeds.
That's one. Yeah. If they get results the next 3, 4 to 6, then we'll see the change.
Exactly. That will change. Yeah. But look, we update this every week. So what we'll do is we'll just include the next two and then the swing. So we'll keep the game week 7 as being the break point, and we'll just swing it until we get to that point, and then obviously that'll be better. Okay. Then the zonal matchups, and this is my new baby. I love this, Joe. This is the first time you've been on the show since we've been doing these. But basically, it's only a small data set for 21-22, which is what I'm working on. But how does it work? Well, let's say Arsenal chances, they're created on the right per 90, and then Norwich concede chances on the left per 90, and then we average them. So that's roughly how it works. So look, the best matchups this week on the left, Liverpool against Leeds. So who's that? could it be Simicas? It could be. Robertson, Mane. Yeah, Everton against Burnley on the left as well, Dean. And then in the centre, Liverpool against Leeds, Salah, probably, maybe Jota. Man United against Newcastle. Fear of missing out here. that's a worry. 5.2, very positive. You know, Ronaldo, Cavani, maybe. Who knows? That's the other point, isn't it? Could he play?
No, the thing is how much lower it is on the flanks. I think that's the important thing. It's 5.2 in the center, and then the matchup is 3.7 on the left and 2.8 on the right. And it's just so much better in the center that's the big concern for me.
And me, because I'm seriously not sure what I'm doing with him yet. On the right, we've got Manchester City against Leicester, 6.7.
That's insane. I mean, I should recall, like, Mahrez just came in for less than half an hour and he created like three big chances in just less than 30 minutes.
If anyone sold Mahrez, look away now.
until he doesn't start, right?
Until he doesn't start, then you're fine. Everton against Burnley on the right as well. Who's playing on the right, please, for Everton?
Coleman.
So, I'm trying to work it out. I've been messaging people. No one's replying to me.
I mean, Townsend. It's been Townsend and Iwobes. So
Iwobes.
I think sometimes the courier operates there as well. If sometimes, I'm not sure.
Ducouré will play the right side of central midfield.
Mm-hmm.
He'll play, Alan will play at the 6, Ducouré will play at the 8, and it's kind of like a double 8 with Ducouré and Gray, but Gray does get a little bit more forward.
I think Coleman got an assist, I think, last.
Yeah, he's injured though, isn't he?
Oh.
Coleman's out. Yeah, he got injured in the international break, didn't he? I'm pretty sure he did.
Yeah, I think he did.
So that's a problem. So again, I was looking at the fullback, thinking, at Burnley they don't score much, and I was thinking who's it going to be down that right hand side? I can't work it out. Could be Hibbo's mate. Could be Holgate.
Hibbo's mate. So in the live chat, we have a new friend that I did a Twitter Spaces with. I was invited on FPL_Sonaldo. Great guy doing content in Korea, and I mentioned the Wolves right side against Watford is an interesting one, and then West Ham right side is kind of like a last chance saloon for Vladimir Sofala, huh?
100% he's toast. If not, I still think he's, I'll have to check, I think he's maybe got one more decent fixture, but West Ham 5, down their right against Southampton. Interestingly, again, don't panic about the Antonio side of things. They don't create much down the middle, but by goodness, does he finish them? right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Wolves against Watford, five again. So Trincão, Semedo, one of those two perhaps. Both really tasty options. I actually went with my differential this week. I was going to go with Semedo, but I went with Trincão in the end. His numbers are better. Sorry, Gabe.
You went with Trincão?
Yeah, I went with Trincão in the end for my differential this week for Serpent. So, yeah. So interesting there. And then on the long range, if we're going out long range, who's better? So Liverpool 4.4, West Ham 4.1, Everton 3.8, Leeds 3.8. So if you look at it long term, guys, this is where the matchups are good between game week 4 and 7. Through the centre, Manchester United 4.5, Wolves 4, Liverpool 4, Burnley 3.9. Chris Wood, anybody? Manchester United 4.5 is a concern if you're not on Ronaldo early, I think. And right, City 4.6, Wolves 4.6, Liverpool 4.1. So I think they're the key ones to me. And I'm going to use this a lot more, Gabe. You've really got me into this now. I am really going a lot more into zonals this year, far more than I've done before. And
this metric, it makes things so much easier for us when we're analyzing the matchups and putting it together.
I think
it's
nice
to have it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it performs, actually, whether we start to get it right. I know there's been comments in the YouTube chat saying, oh, well, why do you say how well your matchup's done? Mate, I ain't got time. I'm going to prepare the next week.
The other thing I would say is, you know, these matchups analysis, the zonal matchups analysis, need to be taken with a large serving of salt. Because this is only based on chances created and chances conceded. To get like real, like more accurate analysis here, we would need XG and XG conceded from the specific zones of the field, and then other analyses that go with it. So this is just as a general idea.
Yeah, come the day of the revolution, we might get something like that. Who knows? But yeah, I agree with you. We have to take it with a pinch of salt, but it's all we've got to work. It's what we've got to work on. So we have to work with what we've got, right?
This is an interesting point by Padna in the chat. City third keeper playing. Do these numbers reflect that? And of course, that they do not reflect that at all.
No, you've got to think for yourself. I'm sorry, you've got to think for yourself. Numbers are numbers. What you've then got to do, numbers will give you will paint a picture, but then you have to work the narrative.
Yeah.
So I think Padna is just reminding us to do that. So that's him thinking, like, remember that.
You know me. You know me. How many times have we said we do not spoon feed on this show? We don't. If you can copy us if you like, but you might go wrong. But the point is that, you know, from the perspective of these numbers, you know, you're right. There are so many caveats that you have to put in, and so many, like, players being injured, players not coming back from international duty, perhaps the key players missing. You know, is Liverpool going to have such a great matchup if it's Tsimikas instead of Robertson? That type of thing, right?
And Alisson won't be starting either.
And Alisson's not starting either. That's even worse for them. So that's why I'm not too keen. So, okay. Yeah. That's that then. So now we'll go on to this week. So the best matchups, as we're looking at for this week, for attack and defence, West Ham, 3.3. Very, very positive against Southampton. Quite frankly, they would be positive unless they played Brazil at this rate, the way they're going. Liverpool, 2.6. Manchester United, 1.9. Everton, 1.8. Chelsea, 1.2. And for any Spurs fans out there, just to paint the picture just a little bit the other way to help you Arsenal fans out, Spurs against Palace, fixture difficulty is 0.2. That's a trap and a half. That could be a trap and a half if ever I saw one. I didn't go for it. I'll tell you my trap in a bit. Defensively, Chelsea have the best matchup, 2.1. Manchester United, 1.6. Spurs, 1.4. City, 1.4. And Everton and Watford, 1. An average, Liverpool, although with Alisson out now, that could really go wrong. But Trent or Tsimikas have a 1.7. That is quite a high number. That suggests that, you know, without the goalkeeper being missing here, that could be a double return in my book. But yeah, let's see how we do. So, right, moving on then. So what we're going to do now then is we're going to very quickly, and I mean quick, go through these fixtures, of some of the fixtures, and say which ones we think are going to be 2.5 goals and why, and then which ones are clean sheets and why. So, okay, so the first one, I'm going to go with West Ham for 2.5 goals. At 3.3, I can hardly not. But FPL Salah doesn't agree with me. His odds, only 18% for 2.5 goals. We don't agree. But look, I'll tell you what I'm going to say. Southampton are 18th in defence for 4.7. They're getting worse because the VAR's going positive. West Ham are second in attack. They're getting better. You know, to me, everything stacks up for West Ham to win. Now, is it going to be 2.5 goals or not? I'm calling it on the basis of the matchup, but it could, obviously. We've got home factors and things like that in there. It's hard to say. We've already spoken about the right matchup, haven't we? But, you know, even down the left, it's quite reasonable. Okay? And I think if you looked at... The other thing I would just bring people's attention to, Gabe, here, because we've spoken about West Ham already, is the crosses. And that's another one which I've pulled out now, and that's, this is thanks to Scout. And looking at that, you know, West Ham have already crossed 49 times from the right, and Southampton have already conceded 38 from their left. So does that suggest that the root of the right chances is going to be probably onto somebody's head, i.e. a Souček or a Antonio? Do you think it's going to be? Is it going to be a headed goal this week?
That's really interesting to pair it with the crosses there. And I have to be honest, it's what my concern in this matchup is that it's easier on the right, where West Ham had been struggling a little bit on that right hand side, struggling for production. They've been playing well, but the production has not been coming from there. So that's where I think this prediction could go wrong, but I like it, and Antonio will probably likely be my captain. So,
well, will Zuma like it as well?
That's an interesting one.
Yeah, interesting one.
Yeah,
will Zuma like it too? You know, there's plenty of people going to be, stacking up for these headers. I think anyone who owns Cresswell, I think, is going to be rubbing their hands. Actually, I think he could be a good pick going forward. So anyway, so we'll go for that. We'll go for that. Gabe, counter-attacking, just very quickly. You mentioned to me when we were chatting off-air that you thought it could be a counter-attacking sort of day.
Yeah, so we were talking about the... West Ham are better... you know, we were talking about that earlier. West Ham are better on the road. They're better. Their attack is better away because they are... You know, with fans in the grounds, teams don't feel like they can just sit back and play a counter-attacking style because they feel like the fans want to see them play. And so sometimes they overextend themselves at home. It certainly has been the case for Southampton in the past that they do this. So if West Ham are kind of sitting back and letting Southampton come onto them, I think they could have a field day with their counter-attacks.
Could be interesting, couldn't it? And there's another player who's actually underperforming his stats, and that's Bowen. And there's another one who's lightning quick, could well be maybe getting something this week. So anyway, so that's that one. The next one is Liverpool away at Leeds. Yeah, it's an away fixture, but Leeds are off the boil with respect to defence at the moment. They're getting worse. There's only a 37% chance of 2.5 goals, according to FPL Salah again. But, you know, Liverpool are as good as they ever are away. You know, there's 1.2 fixture difficulty, and it's the same as what they've been. It's a VAR of zero, so they're just the same. You know, Liverpool's left 5.3 per 90, okay, versus Leeds right 4.7 per 90 gives 5 chances. Center again, Leeds concede the worse for conceding chance down the chances through the middle at 5.7. You know, and Liverpool are pretty good at creating chances through the middle at 5. That's a really good matchup down that middle. And on the right, Liverpool are extremely good at creating chances, but Leeds are actually pretty good at defending them, not conceding them from there. So that could be, that could balance its way out. Liverpool, 51 chances from the right-hand side so far this season, Gabe. I mean, Joe, what's your perspective on this one? Where are you? Do you, what do you see transpiring in this game, and what do you see from these numbers?
I mean, judging how, you know, both teams like to attack, definitely we can see goals. I think Alisson being out is a huge blow for Liverpool. Like how we saw Alisson single-handedly save our clean sheets, I think, for game week 1 and 2. So I can see goals on both sides. 2.5 goals for Liverpool. It could happen, because last season, I think it did happen. Liverpool won 4-3 in that opening game. With a Salah hat-trick. So, yeah. I mean, this matchup screams goals.
It does. And this is my next question. This is the question. This is the million-dollar question. Well, actually, 4.1 million, or 4.1, or is it 4.1 million-dollar question, or million-pound question. What do we do with Tsimikas? Do we hold him, or do we look at this matchup and think Leeds are going to score? What's the point in having him? I'm going to move him out, and I'm going to bring Jota in as I originally planned. What would you do?
Okay, if I have 2 free transfers, I would probably do that, shifted to Jota, because you're not just looking at this matchup, you're looking at the next as well. Because Firmino, I think he'll miss at least 2 or 3 games, and this is the time for Jota to actually, you know, stake his claim. To be honest, I think if you compare to last season, somehow Firmino this season, I don't know, maybe it's because of his involvement. I'm not sure whether was he involved much with Brazil before the season.
I don't know, but I mean, he's out for a couple. They say he's out for a few weeks, didn't they? A couple of weeks, I think, is what people are saying. So that's not too long, but I think it could get me to a wild card. And even then, I think, you know, it's a hamstring, isn't it? Is it a hamstring? I think it is.
Yeah.
I think Ben made a very great point when on the show on Tuesday night, where he said, look, you know, why rush him back? Why rush these players back if you've got cover?
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, if your hamstring goes again, then you're out. If it goes bang the first moment you come back, then you're out for 8, or, you know, you've got a grade 1, you're out for 8, 12 weeks or something like that. So,
yeah.
I think we're okay to the wild card if we're going for game week 7.
If you ask me, I would probably, you know, firstly, yes, I won't rush Firmino to be back. And even if he gets back, I'll probably put him as a cover for Jota. You know, the way Jota is playing, he's undroppable.
His numbers are really good. You'll see that in a minute, because he comes up again later on. So
he's playing really well.
Who will be brave enough to captain Jota, says Dredd. I'll tell you what, you'd have to be brave this week. But do you know what? Maybe not a bad week to go a bit differential.
Yeah, exactly.
That's brave.
It's not a bad call, actually. I quite like it. I quite like it.
I mean, firstly, Jota is definitely nailed.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get this matchup. So,
We'll see. Let's see how it goes. So I think, so you're persuading me to sell him. That's fine. Let's keep going. Manchester United, surprise, surprise, against Newcastle, 2.5 goals. Look, I'm sorry to spoil the fun here, but I think there'll be goals galore this week. I don't think there'll be many clean sheets. They're 42% for 2.5 goals predicted. They rank third, Manchester United. And Newcastle 15, they've improved a bit, but they're still pretty poor. Manchester United's left. this is giving me a real quandary. They don't seem to be creating much down the left at this moment in time. It's a bit of a worry. You can see the same with the crossing. You know, they've only created 29 crosses, 19 crosses from the left. So it's not great. And of course, I'm owning Shaw, and I'm thinking, please goodness, please God, there's another player who's on the chopping block potentially. And I'm a bit worried about that. But what I do have solace in is the fact that, you know, we're just going to plant it on Ronaldo's head, and then the rest is history, right?
Yep.
Because that middle matchup's amazing, as we've said, but the crossing data is rather neutral. But yeah, I think we'll come back to Manchester United in the captaincy anyway. But look, let's say very clearly 2.5 goals. This is going to be the interesting one: is who's going to get them? I still own Greenwood. I own Bruno at this moment. I may not be owning Bruno by the time we get to the deadline. I think there's a few of us like that.
I think that's a mistake to get rid of Bruno for this game week. I think it's a big mistake.
Only because you have to take a minus -8 to get Ronaldo in. Right?
Actually, no. I just need a -4. I can do it with a -4, but I'm not. You know, after thinking about it all week, I doubt I will take out Bruno, a player that's nailed and has led this side for so long, for a player that hasn't even played yet, and then for hits, and then if the matchup is good for Bruno as well. It seems like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. Well, it's Bruno or Jota for me, because that's the move.
Bruno to Jota.
I'll go Tsimikas to probably Livramento, and I would then go Ings up to Ronaldo. That would be my moves for a -4.
That would be a lot more -4.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And with about 0.4 in the bank, so I've got enough to be able to sit and wait.
There's just something about taking a player that's so that the matchup here for United is good in the center of the field, and you're taking out a player that operates in the center for another player that operates in the center. I don't know. I would be very worried.
It's a bloody nightmare. It's a real nightmare. So maybe the best thing to do, as I said off air at the start, is only make the moves to what you know is going to happen. If you've got no news, don't do it. That might be a safe move. This could be carnage this game week. It really could. It could be chaos. But come Saturday, Sunday. Absolute chaos. Everton 2.5 goals as well. I'm on a roll today. Everton 2.5 goals, 2.6. Very improving against flat bottom Burnley away from home. Yes, they got battered at Anfield. So read into that as you wish. But, you know, the matchups are pretty good, as we've already said. The problem I've got is Coleman's not playing down that right, so I'm not entirely sure who would be the best option there. But Everton's matchups are good. 4.8 expected chances from the left, 3.5 through the middle, bit down, but 5 from the right. They're looking solid. I'm just a bit concerned whether, you know, I think Richarlison's available, isn't he? I think, have they struck a deal with the Brazilian FA or whatever.
Yeah, Richarlison is in their good books, so he's allowed to play.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, so, well, anyway, so here we go. So that's that one. And the last one, I think, yes, it's Chelsea against Villa. We know Martinez isn't playing, but now we're not sure about Lukaku, are we? Mm-hmm. Does anybody know whether Lukaku is playing? I've seen him being talked about a captain option today. I've seen it 2 or 3 times. People saying he's a captain shout. Well, I don't even know. He's flagged. How could he possibly be a captain shout? Not for me. Unless I know he's playing.
Don't captain flag players.
These are big accounts.
No, I mean, if we should tell that to DCL for the past few games. You know, don't captain the flag player.
That's a fair point.
That's
a good point.
But flags can be removed, right? Flags can be removed.
Yeah.
And we're only at Thursday. I'm not saying this is a bad thing. But I'll tell you what I will say, right? If Lukaku is not playing, I'm not going to go for 2.5 goals. I'm going to take it off.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because then you're stuck with this guy.
No chance.
If Lukaku's out, Werner a punt?
No. I could have said something really bad then, but I'm not going to say it.
You watch yourself, Mariner. We don't want to be banned on iTunes India for our language.
I had to stop myself there. Clean sheets. We're staying in Chelsea. We're staying with Chelsea against Villa. 58% chance of a clean sheet, Chelsea, this week. Really, really tasty. Villa's getting worse. Chelsea are improving defensive-wise. Villa don't look like they're going to create much at all, quite frankly. Buendia's out.
Yep.
You know, Ings could always get something because he's just that type of player. Scores out of nothing. But, you know, realistically, the only chink I can say for Chelsea is they are conceding around 11 crosses a game from each side. That's the only thing I can say. But they're probably defending them. You know, but anyway, there we go.
That's an interesting observation, just because if you think about as a manager, if you have center backs that can handle crosses and you want your wing backs to get high up the field, maybe you're okay with conceding the crosses knowing that you can handle them. Rather than pulling your wing backs back to defend them. So
we'll just mop these crosses up and it doesn't actually affect the overall numbers, hence the fact they're not conceding chances there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, possibly. Nice observation, sir. I like that. Manchester United against Newcastle, 55% chance of a clean sheet, which I think actually supports a captaincy option for the midfield there as well, which is maybe a Bruno shout. I don't know. There's an extra couple of points possibly to be had there, unless he picks up a yellow card again.
Luke Shaw, captain.
We'll come on to that gentleman appearance in a minute. But look, United ranked fourth at home, but they're not quite so good where they were. But Newcastle attack is 16th. Wilson's out. Look, if this tells me, looking at this here, Newcastle are going to create the chances down the right. That's Saint-Maximin. He can get a goal, but I still say I think there that this is a fairly solid clean sheet shout this week. But you know, it's the chances down the right. Newcastle's chances down the right is supported by the crossing data here, Gabe. Yeah. 12 per match down the right.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, are Manchester United going to just mop them up? Or, you know, have Newcastle got anybody in there to finish them off? Joe Linton?
Oh. Your boy.
No way. Gale, probably Gale.
The chair collapsed again. I've just brought Joe Linton up. Oh, good God. Really? I mean, look, I think it's a clean sheet. If it isn't, I'll be surprised. I really will. So anyway, so that's the predictions. So now let's keep going. We must keep going because now I'm going to bring the trap of the week up, and then this is my call, nobody else's. So shoot the Mariner. I think Arsenal are going to concede. There we go. That's my call. Ben White. Sorry, boys. Nothing more that Nima owns him. And we've got the same team pretty much. So and you, Joe, I think you own him as well. So I thought I'd have a bit of fun with you all here.
Yeah, I have Ben White since game week one.
But I've two out of three traps I've got right so far. So
this would be probably your second wrong.
Arsenal's defense.
It's a flip of a coin, right, Joe?
Arsenal defense is only 0.7 positive. But to be honest, they are only likely to concede chances down their left by the looks of things, by what I can see. So Norwich is right. And Norwich created a lot of chances against Liverpool. A lot of chances down the right against Liverpool. They're not going to create any chances anywhere else, though. That's the positive thing for Arsenal by the looks of things. Because Norwich down the centre and down the left have created 1.3 and 1.7 chances on average. That's it. Nothing.
Todd Cantwell, baby.
It is Todd Cantwell all over. It's Todd Cantwell. Definitely. And Norwich, interestingly enough, and this is where the crossing data doesn't support this, because it actually suggests they're going to create a lot more crosses down the left. So look, I'm saying this. I've got a funny feeling that this could be a... I think Arsenal will win comfortably. I can't see anything other than Arsenal win, Arsenal fans, so I'll give you that. But I do think they'll concede.
Mm.
That's my call anyway. So that's my trap. And my hauler is Luke Shaw. Please, God. He's been quiet, though. He's been quiet. And his stats don't support it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no Wilson. It's 55% chance of a clean sheet. And he has the opportunity to cross to Ronaldo for the last 20 minutes.
and the combination of left and centre, of the left and centre matchup, that combination is what really...
Yeah. But did you hear what I said then? I said they'll have the opportunity to cross to Ronaldo for the last 20 minutes.
Ah, last 20 minutes. Exactly, last 20 minutes, that's what is going on.
He only needs 20 minutes.
I don't know whether he's going to bloody start or not. I'm just pulling your legs, guys. But, you know, and of course, Newcastle have a third choice keeper in goal.
Oh.
In Woodman, don't they?
Woodman.
Oh, Woodman, yeah.
So,
but could be Woodman's pretty decent.
Yeah, but it could still be a cricket score, mate. And I really expect it could easily be that. It could easily be one, this. The matchup doesn't necessarily suggest it, but I'll tell you what, everything else does. There's, you know, and I don't know. I mean, I own Greenwood and Shaw and probably at the moment Bruno, so I'm very happy. If I swap to the other one, I swap. It's one of those things, it's how it goes. But yeah, I'm quite happy with that. So yeah, so there we go. So that's the matchups and everything done. We're at 1 hour 26. We've just got the captaincy metric to do and a couple of other bits. But we're going to have a quick glass of water, and I'm just going to play another little advert just for a few seconds, and we'll be back in a moment.
Are you craving more FPL content? Then look no further than allaboutfpl.com. Head over there for weekly articles from some of the top content creators on the planet. So what are you waiting for? Head over to allaboutfpl.com, the website for all your FPL needs.
What are you waiting for? I am going to get a t-shirt made up like that. I really am. I really am. So anyway, it's time now for the algorithm. So let's crack on. So I'm not going to go through the rules. You know them. So what we'll do is we'll go straight to it. So how's the algorithm doing? Well, at the moment... Game week one, it got 89 points, averaged against 69. Game week two, it got 82 points, average of 56. And game week three, it's got 58 points, average of 54. I think it's took about 40 hits so far, the team. So it may as well be your team, Joe. I might let you run it.
It'd probably do better than my team.
It's still doing quite well. It's still ranked about 2 million. It's took about I think I've took 40-point hit this week. I have to be careful. I don't do it with my own team. Bloody hell, yeah, I nearly thought exactly. I did it the other day. Oh, God, I nearly died. what are we going to do this week? Well, this is the team. And it's going to be... It could still change, I'm afraid. I'm sorry to say this, guys, but if there's any news on players not... being available. I think we're safe, but we're going with Antonio Captain.
Nice, I like it.
We are going Antonio Captain, first things first, and we are going Salah Vice-Captain. We are going Lloris in goal. Will it be four clean sheets on the trot? We've got double Chelsea defence in Alonso and Christensen. We have also in defence Koufal and Dier, so we're doubling up on Spurs. And we've got Tsimikas in there because he's cheap. And so we can afford Diego Jota, who partners Salah in midfield, along with Bruno, Dele Alli, and Benrahma. So that's, but Alli is going to be on the bench. He's fifth mid there. And up front, Antonio and Richarlison. God, I nearly threw it out the window when it picked Richarlison. But do you know what? he's affordable. And I, because I'm taking so many hits, I've no team value in it. That's the problem. and Dennis on the bench as well. So there we go. So let's see how it goes this week. But it is a bit dependent on what happens. But I think we're pretty safe. But I quite like it. I like the Chelsea double defence. I like Spurs double defence. I like the Koufal pick because I think he can get something. I like, obviously, Liverpool. I like Manchester United, and I like West Ham. So I'm fairly happy with it. What do you think, Gabe?
I don't like the Dyer pick.
I can't afford anyone else.
You can afford Ben White.
Give me a bloody break.
Ben White.
Ben White. No way.
No, I honestly love this team. I love the Richarlison pick. I think that's a real savvy little pick there on that left hand side. I think he'll do bits. I love the Antonio captaincy. I may go with Antonio myself, depending on news.
Yep, we're going to come on to the captaincy metric right now. Stand by, everybody, because I just need to try and get this stupid thing working again because I've just gone off the slide. So here we go. So captaincy. So first things first, where are we with it? Last year it was 80% hit rate. At the moment we're at 66% hit rate. Only we've missed one, which was Salah, and we only just missed that. I'm still sick of that because I'm still convinced that wasn't offside. I'm not letting anybody tell me it was. would have been pretty good there. But now anyway, we've had two really nice hauls with Salah and Antonio. So we're going at 62 points at the moment, 20.7 points per game week. Happy days. Okay, so I'm very happy with that. So should we have a look at the captain metric? We'll see what happens. So are we ready? There we go. It's Antonio. It has gone with Antonio.
It's not even close.
It's not even close. The bloke, it's ridiculous. I have never seen anything like it. Madness. Five double returns in the last 12 games and seven single returns. So seven times he scored one, five times he scored two. So he's, so he's blanked five times, but ridiculous. I mean, 42% haul rate. I don't think I've ever seen it, Gabe. Have you?
I've never seen that haul rate. most players don't even have that return rate.
No, but look at it. I mean, 125.4 fixture difficulty away. chance of return, 42% chance of a haul. He destroys, he smashes everybody out of the park. He destroys all the Liverpool assets. Look at that. Salah, one double return, nine singles. Mane, 1-8. Greenwood, 2-8. Fernandes, 1-5.
I have to say, I think this throws cold water on the rush to get Cristiano Ronaldo.
Well, and of course he's not in there yet. And
right, but if he was in there, right? Would he be much higher? Like, can you get much higher than what Antonio is doing here?
It would take Ronaldo about 5 weeks to get there by doubling up, basically.
He'd have to double return in four of those.
He'd have to start double returning straight away. Lukaku's not going to get anywhere near either. Lukaku's nowhere near this metric. If Antonio's got a good fixture at this moment in time, he's going to top the metric. It's very straightforward.
And I think that's why. That's a call for patience.
Well, I'm pleased I own him, but what I was saying,
if you own him, it's a call for patience.
He's not going anywhere till his leg falls off.
No, exactly.
no, he's not going anywhere. But yeah, looking at this, I mean, it's crazy. To be honest, out the players of interest, players of interest, fixtures of interest. We've only got Greenwood with that double with more than one double return. Up there, we've got Trent with a couple of double returns. So okay, so he's doing all right, but yeah, it's a problem. It's a real problem. He's killing it. He's absolutely killing it.
Yeah.
And I think he's a solid captaincy pick this week. I can't say anything otherwise. And I mean, if the only reason we're not going to captain him is because he's already got three double returns, are we just overthinking it? Gabe, what's your perspective? I mean, it's going to happen. It's going to blank at some stage, but do we just keep going until he does?
I mean, when we are using the number of double returns as a reason to not captain somebody, I feel like we're playing the game backwards.
Yeah, we are, aren't we?
Yeah, that's a reason to keep captaining him. So,
yeah. No, we are. We're completely playing it backwards. Yeah. Joe, what's your view on this?
I agree with you. You know, Antonio really smashing it. You know, not just with the points, but also with his stats. He's a monster at the moment. But I'm not sure. I read somewhere. I'm not sure how true is this. That because he played for Jamaica, he might miss game week 4. I don't know. I just read this randomly somewhere on Twitter. Maybe, you know, definitely it needs to get verified. But other than that, yeah. But I think the dilemma would be for those who also own Ronaldo. You know, like, yeah, let's say Antonio and Ronaldo, what are you going to do?
Yeah. There's just a couple of questions on here. You know, Jota's missing from the metric. Yes, rotation risk. Only 30% has been showed. Anyone with more than 30%, they're not showing. Anyone who's flagged, not on it. Jesus vanished off it a while ago. Calvert-Lewin is not on it because he's flagged. Lukaku is not on it because he's flagged. Okay? If I get the nod that they're available and then the flag comes off, I'll add them in and then I'll post it onto the community page. But as it stands, that's what it is. And if you look at the goal score percentage again from FPL Sala, look at that green, second to the last column on the right. The metric is still following the goal scoring odds quite tightly, I think. So I think, you know, there's some good captaincy options there. Fernandez, a great captaincy option this week, 57% chance of a goal, 55% chance of a clean sheet. Greenwood as well, so great differential, I think, this week, potential for a captain. Salah's great as well. I think there's four good captaincy shouts this week, personally. And I'm not discounting Jota either. That's five.
Yeah.
So it could be really interesting to see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Anything you want to add before we move on to this idiot cat? Then just take a few questions. Nope. Okay, let's go.
Let's do it. Right.
Let's do it. So anyway, so we put the poll onto the community page now. So please do come to the community page and interact with us. The reason is, it's because not everybody's on Twitter. You know? And it's easy to get stuck in the Twitter bubble when not everybody's there. So we want to try and do a bit and get everybody involved there. So look, who's the captain for game week 4? Who did the community pick? Well, 52% went with Ronaldo. 25% went Salah, 14% Fernandez, Antonio 8%. And I put Kane in just for a giggle. He got 1%. One!
That's Baker. You know, I love this, the poll, because I love the smell of opportunity in the morning, I guess. It's Antonio, 8%. So nice. It's so good.
Yeah, it's looking hopeful, isn't it? Right. Anyway, so let's play this moron cat and see who he goes with, just to really put the cat among the pigeons. Here we go.
You're the one that called me a moron. You're the one that
he's only got one right this year. He's only got one right so far. So all you Ronaldo captains, be afraid. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Oh no.
Yeah. He's the other way. He's gone wrong this year. He's getting wrong this year. The only one he got right. He got Son right last week, anyway. That's one thing.
I mean, at least I have something in common with the cat. I only got one right so far as well from my captaincy. I blanked twice. Oh
my goodness. Right, anyway, so that's that. Let's just should we get some questions done and just have a quick look and just have a look for some questions for 5 minutes or so, and then we'll bugger off. So have we got some? Have you seen any, Gabe?
I have seen some. I have to go back and put them up.
All right, so let's just I'm gonna start at the bottom and work up. You start at the top and work down, see what we've found.
Okay.
I'm confusing people now as well. That's great.
Are Southampton fixtures ripe for picking for Halls against them? Are they the whipping boys?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. The numbers tell me they are really ripe. I think Burnley are ripe as well.
Yep.
I would say them, Newcastle. I wouldn't say Palace. Palace are improving, so I'm not quite sure about that.
That's a question from Mike Halpin, by the way. I forgot to mention the name.
Right, okay.
Next one is from Siva, FPL Banger. Raya, possibly the standout budget keeper then. What do you think?
I would agree. I mean, even like I mentioned, even in the harder fixtures, I think you get those save points and potentially bonus if they get a clean sheet. I don't think they scored much so far. I don't know. I mean, if it's a tight one and Raya, gets to perform and he might get the bonus as well.
So I'm going to add to that. I'm glad you brought up the bonus, Joe, because I've been looking at baseline bonus, and Raya has the joint third most baseline bonus points. He only has one bonus point. It's only materialized into one bonus point, but that could change if he continues. What I will say is Raya's fixtures, like we mentioned earlier, turn for the worse, take a sharp turn for the worse. The other player with the joint third most bonus is at 55 baseline bonus is Guaita. And Palace's fixtures are mixed in the short term and good in the medium to long term. They improve. So I think maybe Guaita would be the better long term selection there than Raya.
we're gonna have to watch out. We're gonna have to watch our preseason stuff back, Gabe.
I know. not ours.
To be fair, it was Hibbo. He said he wasn't going to own one all season.
He said he'd be fine without owning any Palace players this season.
No, I think he said
ever.
Got some more? I've got one here if you can't see one.
Go for it.
The wild card is keep Shaw or question. Get Reese in. That was from Sushay Kumar.
Oh, this is a tough one.
What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, like we just say, Shaw is a defensive Hall of the Week player, and we are not sure, but we expect him to be more involved in the attack once Ronaldo comes in. But at the same time,
isn't Reece suspended?
Yeah.
This is a wild card.
Suspended 3 games, I think.
It's a wild card decision, though. The one thing, if you get rid of Shaw, you haven't seen Shaw with Cristiano, and I think that could be something special. So, but at the same time, I would want both. If I were on wild card, that 5.0 to 5 million, I would get Reese, I would get Christensen, I would get Shaw, and I would get Trent, and I'd play it back four if I were on wild card. That's probably what I'll do on my wild card game week 7.
Something I like that a lot. And I do think double Chelsea. I'll tell you, you've probably just missed a City asset out of that, because that's another one. They've got some amazing fixtures coming up. So that's where it's going to become a bit more of a challenge. But yeah. I mean, look, for me, that's probably a move. I may make that move, actually, when I wildcard. It's possible that I'll go City defender and take Shaw out, actually. and go another way. But again, let's see what happens with Ronaldo. I think that's going to be key, isn't it? At the moment, it Shaw's an easy sell because he's crap.
You may want him right back, though. You may want to bring him right back in. Once you see him,
I mean, I'm not taking him anywhere for now, mate. He's staying. Yeah, he's staying right there. Any more?
I don't think so. Here we go.
FPL Sonaldo. Question for the boys is two free transfers, Jota in for a -4, similar move to Chris, or no hit move for a mid under 7.5 is 0.1 short for Jota. Plan to upgrade Ings to Ronaldo for both moves. Sorry, Gabe. The obvious one there is Torres, right?
But I think Torres played all the Spanish games, didn't he?
Well, yeah, that's the point. I mean, that's what we were thinking of. I mean, all the way through the international break, what I was thinking is it was Jota or Torres.
Yeah.
All the way through, the one or the other.
But I think Jesus is also, I mean, supposedly banned. So,
Jesus, Torres. He's out, isn't he? I think, isn't he injured?
No.
He's in Brazil.
He's
part of the Brazilian band.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, even so, we haven't get 100% confirmed that they are banned. They are just trying to work things out, I think.
And I have to say, sometimes you have to kind of let things flow. We have to, I think, maybe get away from saying I need this one player. And be a little bit more open-minded, like, well, I need a player that's 7.5 or cheaper, not I'm 0.1 short of Jota. And I think that's from what we talked about at the beginning, the philosophy of the week, that's playing to your aspirations and hopes instead of the fear. Jota, like, forcing Jota in would be playing to your fears of FOMO not having Jota.
But I want to.
There's another quote. This is from Bob Marley. Every need has an ego to feed.
You know me well. Right, here's another one from we've been asked this question and now put it on the screen, but he's asking too many questions, but we'll answer him anyway. So Shushet again, keep Ben Rama or switch to Rafinha for wildcard. To me, that is a hold.
Yep.
Agreed. Keep Ben Rama.
Even so, because Rafinha is also involved in the Brazil.
And we've got Donny asking Bruno and Ings to Ronaldo and Jota using two free transfers. Seems an obvious move. Correct, folks. Well, I think if you ask Gabe, no, it's not that obvious. Me, we're going to have a vote here. Joe, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. And it's a yes from me. And it's a no from Gabe.
It's a no. Oh, sorry, Gabe.
it's too soon.
Here's one. Gabe, you can answer this one. Thoughts on this transfer plan? Bruno and Barnes and Ings to Jota, Greenwood and Cristiano Ronaldo for a -4.
I mean, I would do this for a -20. As long as you're getting rid of Barnes, it's a yes for me. It doesn't matter who you're bringing in or how many hits you have to do to take it.
I like it. I like the moves.
Yeah, I like it as well.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I really do. Right, who else have we got? Again from Nihal. Can Greenwood and Ronaldo together cover Bruno points easily? That's my perspective.
They can. I don't know if they will, but we don't know what will happen. Bruno could be getting 3 assists a game. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, but it's only 3 points, right? And Greenwood's going to get 5 points for a goal.
If he plays.
And if he scores.
I mean, Brodj dropped blooming Iheanacho. Look what's happened there. You know, a player in form, he goes and takes him out.
Who
in the right mind is going to take Greenwood out? I mean, in the right mind.
But Cristiano Ronaldo. That's the argument to everything, right? But Ronaldo, but Jadon Sancho. Well, that's what you get, Mariner. We lost.
I don't know what I did. I think it's a sign. If I was Greenwood and I was playing the way I am and I got took out for Ronaldo, I'd be right pissed off. Pissed off.
Why? It's Ronaldo.
What do you expect?
Overall, I want to be playing. Anyway, there we go. It took me an hour and 49 minutes to swear. Not like Neiman. Right. Happiest decision is selling Barnes. We've got a couple more and then we'll get out of here.
I still have Barnes.
He still have Barnes.
I can't seem to get rid of him.
Hey?
Keeper on wild card. That's tough. I don't like Shah, but maybe that might be the call. Shah.
Yeah.
I want to say Guaita, but it's hard for me to say that. I can't really bring myself to say that yet.
Crikey. With 30 second questions because we're really rushing through these now. Traore or Gray on a wild card? Gabe.
Adama. Adama. More upside.
Yeah, it has to be.
Yeah. Me too.
It has to be. It's tough though because you've done a good job trying to sell Gray to me. Which defender below six do you think will get two returns over the next 4 weeks? Oh, my God.
Below six defenders.
Who's playing?
Shaw.
Kufal.
Kufal's going to be the trap of the year.
It's just wishful thinking. That's all it is. No, I mean, I don't know. I'd have to.
I'm going to say Shaw.
Yeah, possibly Shaw.
He's going to get a couple assists. He's going to get at least two assists in the next four game weeks, in my opinion.
Zuma.
Ooh, I like it. Nice. Well played.
That's the shout. Zuma.
I like it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Would we get in a Ramanthan? Would we get in a Chelsea asset this week or a Spurs one? For the fixture. Well, Chelsea's fixture.
No Spurs one.
It depends what your situation is. If you're looking at a wild card in game week 7, then maybe a Spurs for the short term fixtures. If you are looking for long term, I would go with the Chelsea asset.
Yeah, I think that's it, isn't it? If you look at your team, if you're building for the long term, you need Chelsea players in there for sure. 100%.
And if it's dire, then just go Chelsea. Forget about that.
Right. Pavan, Son, Ings to Ronaldo and Trincao. I like that. Or Son, Ings, Simi to Jota, Bamford and Livra.
Definitely, I prefer the first one.
Yeah, I think I would. I tell you what, though, I've got a funny feeling Bamford might score this week. I have got a very funny feeling Bamford might get something this week. I've just got that. It's a feeling in me water.
No Rafinha. I don't know.
True.
That'd be tough.
True. Good point. Maybe shut up then, Chris. Right, next one. Should I hold FPL Master, should I hold Grealish for now? Well,
yeah.
If you've got him, why not? You know, they've got a brilliant fixture next week.
I mean, to even consider this question, I think his team must be perfect.
Masha's doing pretty well this season, I think. Yeah, he's doing very well.
I have so many fires to put out. You know, if I've Grealish, my team is definitely whole.
Now you need a giant size fire extinguisher, Joe, don't you, with your team?
Oh, I need my wildcard.
There you go.
I reckon. Watch this space, haulers. Joe will trigger his wildcard tomorrow. Follow him at FPL Zoo. And you will see he might
have Alonso on his wildcard team.
He might well do.
Maybe Barnes will still be there.
Who would you start, White or Civitas?
Simi, 100%. Simi for potential attacking returns. I think they'll both concede though.
I mean, yeah, but I will he right. start though?
Rumors are that Tsimikas will start over Robertson.
Yeah, I
mean, rumors. Right. Keep your eye on the news for that.
I still might sell him.
If Tsimikas doesn't start, then I doubt he'll come in. So then you'll get the auto sub anyway. So I would start with Sir. I would.
Is Sir Harold of Kane dead?
Kesha. Yes. Yes. Dead.
I think he's dead as an FPL player. I think he's still a fantastic footballer. Right. Adip, should I hold Reguilon? You can say this. For game week 5 or save a transfer to bring in Ronaldo in game week 6? I mean, they're playing
should
Palace.
I,
they're playing
should
Palace.
I hold or save?
Or save.
What's that supposed to mean?
Hold or save? Is that the same thing? What's he doing?
Yeah.
To bring in Ronaldo in 6. I don't know exactly what his team is there. I'm not quite sure about that.
I think bringing in Ronaldo in game... Go ahead.
They've got a decent matchup, haven't they? So they've got a decent, not a decent matchup, but they've got a potentially, and it could be a tough fixture, I think, away at Palace.
It could
never
be.
Easy there. I've always said that. Right, I think that'll do us. I think we're about done. So, guys, 1 hour 55. I said it would be 1 hour 45. We're nearly there.
Not
It'll
bad.
Be nice. I'll be able to get to bed before 1 a.m. Thanks, Joe, for coming on earlier. I don't think Gabe's too appreciative, but I certainly am. Mate, Joe, thanks a lot for coming on, mate. It's lovely to see you. And, I mean, look, I'll give the guys a shout. I'll give the guys a shout at FPL Expectations. They're good friends to net that haul. You can find Joe on FPL Expectations most weeks, I think is fair to say. Mm-hmm. So do find them on YouTube as well. You'll find Joe as well at Zoo FPL, ZHOU FPL, on Twitter as well. And he has some great stuff. Just wait till you get to the wild card, he'll give you a flow chart. and Gabe, as always, my chief mate and assistant, as always, thank you very much, my friend. Nice to see you again.
Always a pleasure, brother. Thank you.
Fantastic. And guys in the chat, thank you very much for so many questions. It's great that we've been really been firing through the questions this afternoon, which is marvelous. If you haven't already smashed that like button, please smash it. If you're the person who dislikes it, why? But anyway, you're entitled to your own opinion.
But tell us why. Tell us why.
Yeah, put it in the comments why you don't like it, and we'll improve. Yeah, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, hit the bell, and we will see you all next week. And we've got Nima and Hibbo have got Nick Triggerlips on Monday night, as far as I know, on the Compass Show. So keep an eye out for that as well. Apart from that, not a great deal else to say, apart from I hope you get green arrows, I hope you sleep at night, and whatever transfers you make, don't make them yet. Mariner out.